We like to think that any chemicals used in the growing or making of our food are out of the picture by the time our food gets to the store. Not so, it appears. Recent research by Friends of the Earth and Beyond Toxics, based in Eugene, involved buying common food items in grocery stores and testing them for pesticides. Many of the food items tested positive, from spinach to applesauce, even things like boxed oat breakfast cereals. Let's get a fuller picture of the research and its findings. Two guests join us from Beyond Toxics in Eugene. Lisa Arkin is the executive director. Lisa, welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for having us on.
Good to have you here. Crystal Abrams is with you as well, social media and pollinator projects manager for Beyond Toxics. Crystal, welcome.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having us.
All right, good to have you both here. Lisa, start us off. Tell us about the basic picture of the research, when it started, what you looked at, et cetera.
Sure, yep. Thanks for asking. Beyond Toxics, which is a statewide environmental health and justice organization, worked with Friends of the Earth, which is a national group, to get a handle on how much pesticide residue is found in common foods that the majority of families buy to provide nutrition for their family and particularly for their kids. And that study started in the fall of 2018, so just a few months ago. And Crystal can describe how she went out shopping and what kind of food she bought and what was found.
Yes, I noticed, Crystal, there were pictures of you on the Beyond Toxics website out doing the shopping. Tell us about the process.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I had a really interesting experience out shopping for all of these foods. I connected with our statewide allies, and we took several months to get on the same page with how many states were going to go to which stores and which foods we were going to buy and which ones we were going to sample, and we ended up collecting 132 samples between all of us from the top stores like Walmart, Kroger, Costco, Albertsons, Safeway. And when I say Kroger in the Oregon area, that actually implies Fred Meyer. Yes. So I went out and we selected the five top foods purchased by families. We got fresh whole apples, applesauce, fresh spinach, oat cereal, like Cheerios, and pinto beans. And these were all store brand, bottom shelf, like the most economical version of these foods that I could find that we were instructed to purchase.
Why the store brand and not the more better known national brands, for example?
That's a really great question. And the only answer I have for that is that the store brands tend to be the least expensive and the most popular amongst consumers. So when we couldn't find a store brand, like the pinto beans, for example, at Costco, they did not have a Kirkland brand pinto beans. And Kroger, I had to get Cheerios instead of their store brand, because that's what Friends of the Earth said, that people are more likely to buy are the more economically priced items.
So, Crystal, was this meant to be sort of the generic shopping experience? Somebody who doesn't have a lot of money, they're going to go to the easiest store. We're not going to the organic section. We're not going to Whole Foods, et cetera?
Yep, absolutely. This study was designed to see what kind of chemicals are in the shopping cart of your average busy American looking to feed their family on a budget.
So at 132 samples, did every product turn up the presence of something?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The only thing that I can't speak to is that Costco didn't sell any non-organic apples. So that's the only kind of outlier there. But yes, everything else came up positive. Glyphosate was found on 100% of oats and pinto beans. Neonicotinoids, which are the highly systemic neurotoxin linked to bee declines, were found in 80% of the spinach and 73% of the applesauce samples, as well as organophosphates, which are commonly referring to these as chlorpyrifos, which are a very toxic nerve agent. We found that 61% of the apple samples had chlorpyrifos and 32% of the spinach samples, which, looking back, makes a little bit of sense, because organophosphates can eventually wash off of your foods, whereas neonics cannot be washed off of your foods, no matter how hard you scrub them.
It occurred to me only late in the process of researching this to ask when things were tested in their process. I mean, when, as in straight out of the off the store shelf, or as they were peeled or otherwise prepared for cooking?
Interesting. So That is a really great question. And from my, and I don't have an in-depth understanding of the testing process, but these were sent to a lab off the store shelves. So I bought the fresh spinach and the fresh apples and the canned applesauce, put them into a package with the cooling packs and properly packed it, and then overnight shipped it to the testing facility. So they tested it all directly out of the packaging before anything was prepared. And yes, that is correct.
We're talking about pesticide residues in food products straight off the store shelves. Beyond Toxics did the work in Oregon for an overall study done by Friends of the Earth. Crystal Abrams is the social media and pollinator projects manager from Beyond Toxics and handled the purchase of the items in Oregon stores, or led the whole effort. And Lisa Arkin is the executive director of Beyond Toxics. You, by this point, may have some questions or comments about the stuff you're finding in store shelves and what might be within those food products. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Lisa Arkin, talk to us about federal standards, because those appear to be of less interest in this case than the levels set by the Environmental Working Group. What's this all about?
Well, the United States government doesn't set health standards very well for many of these pesticides, unlike our cohorts in the European Union, who are trying or have succeeded in ending their use in agriculture because of the concern that these pesticides are getting into our foods and hence getting into our bodies. So it's difficult to answer that question about exactly what is the standard in the United States for safe levels, and of course brings up the question, are there safe levels for some of these? For example, the organophosphate that Crystal mentioned, chlorpyrifos, which was found in 100% of the applesauce samples, by the way, is known to permanently and irreversibly harm developing brains in our children. So when you see that glyphosate, which is considered a probable carcinogen in the European Union, and chlorpyrifos, which is a known brain-damaging chemical, and neonicotinoids, which are a systemic neurotoxin, when you see that all of these are found in common foods, we have to be concerned that our children are getting these multiple constant exposures to chemicals that can damage their development and actually prevent healthy development in some cases.
All right. The point I was driving at, though, was there are federal standards where they may be a little unpalatable to some people to hear about them. Like, you're allowed a certain number of rodent hairs per pound of meat, I guess. But there are, I'm sure, cutoff levels for which there would be too much pesticide. Did any of these samples reach that point?
Well, we just looked at the levels considered acceptable. I won't even say safe, by the Environmental Working Group.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so in relation to those standards, where do these products fall?
Glyphosate, let's see, was higher than what the Environmental Working Group considered to be safe for a health benchmark.
All right. So the residues had an average, I see, of 360 parts per billion on the oat cereal samples. That's the Cheerio-style stuff. And a bit more than that, residues with an average of 509 parts per billion on the 27 pinto bean samples.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and for example, with glyphosate, and that's that common herbicide known as Roundup, the allowable residue, according to the Environmental Working Group, which is a highly respected research institution, was 160 parts per billion, whereas the level found in the food was 360 parts per billion.
All right. Let's.
That's more than twice as much that is considered acceptable for exposure.
Let us take a call here. We have John and Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about pesticide residues in foods with Lisa Arkin and Crystal Abrams from Beyond Toxics.
Thanks. What do you say to people who, I guess, don't particularly care? They're happy to go to Safeway or Freddy's and buy the fruit and vegetables or anything else. And I guess it'd be kind of like me. I'm 69 years old and I've never had cancer or anything like that. So, I mean, I try to pay attention, but I'm not totally worried about it. So what do you say to people who go, I'm fine with what I eat?
All right. Thanks for that, John. Appreciate the question. Lisa, want to take that?
Sure. Thanks for that question. Well, it's true. You're a man in your, later part in life, but what about these kids whose brains are still developing? What about the prenatal exposures? It was found that prenatal exposure to organophosphates created problems with brain development. It's highly correlated. And so how do we say to a mother who's pregnant and hoping for the best for that child, and that child has the opportunity to develop to their fullest possible extent, how do we explain to her that we're allowing brain-damaging chemicals in common foods that she might buy?
Was there any expectation at the outset that you would find lots of samples with nothing on there? I noticed, for example, with the spinach samples, and I want to be clear about this, that while only 32% of the samples tested had residues on them, when you get into neonicotinoids, 80% of those had residues. So you're tested for different things on the same products. But so I mean, was there any expectation that you'd find no residues whatsoever, Lisa?
I think we didn't know what to expect going into it, to tell you the truth, Jeff. I mean, that's why science is done, is, you know, to find out what's really going on. And so I think we hoped not to find residues, and we're quite shocked by the levels we did find in common foods.
Shocked, and then, you're saying? Yeah, I was going to ask if there was a surprise here, and you're saying it's even beyond surprise to shocked.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, I'm a mother and a grandmother, and it worries me when I see my son and his wife feeding their children the kinds of food that Crystal described she went shopping for. They're a family on a low budget, and they often have to grab what they can for the price they can afford. And so, you know, I can't butt into their life and buy their food for them, but it worries me that my own grandchildren are probably consuming these high levels of chemicals that are known to damage brain development and known to be associated with cancer. That troubles me greatly.
Let's take another call. Same name, different town. This is John in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Lisa Arkin and Crystal Abrams from Beyond Toxics.
Yes, good morning. Given all of the toxic ingredients you found in the store-bought foods, I wonder if there has been any detectable medical harm from ingesting these ingredients.
You mean from actually eating these foods, whether people have gotten sick from them?
Yes. The presumption here is that if these things are toxic, then they're going to cause some medical problems. And I wonder if that's been detected.
All right, so you're asking for proof, it sounds like.
Well, I'm asking them if they've detected any harm.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks for that, John. Appreciate it. Lisa or Crystal?
That's a really
good question. Go ahead, Crystal.
Yeah, sure. I can just go ahead and start and then turn it over to you, Lisa. That's a really good question. And these chemicals that are found in these foods have been detected in certain ailments from a number of people. Glyphosate alone is linked to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, as well as a number of other cancers that are not very pleasant for most people to have. And also neonics are really toxic to our bumblebees, and our bumblebees are really important to support our entire food system and overall human health. And chlorpyrifos, the one that was found in all the applesauce samples, those are the chemicals that are the most cause the most poisoning worldwide, and they're very toxic when they're absorbed into the skin, inhaled or ingested, and they can lead to autism and a number of other ailments that have very neurotoxic effects on developing organisms, not just humans, but also our fish and wildlife. So yes, these chemicals are linked to health problems across our entire ecosystems.
And neonics are of particular concern, Lisa Arkin. And did these start showing up because they were being used instead of other chemicals that were considered worse or something?
Well, the neonicotinoids are used for all kinds of insects, and we've been hearing reports that they may be substituting for other things. But the main point there is that there are developing research on alternatives to all of these pesticides, things that won't cause harm to the people consuming food with the residues. And back to the question asked by the caller, the EPA is very concerned about the ability of organophosphates to change and harm our ability to process certain enzymes in our body, for example, acetylcholinesterase. And in California, farm workers actually have to be tested for changes to their ability to utilize acetylcholinesterase, which is involved with, you know, communications between nerves and muscles and things like that. So, it is these exposure to these chemicals is absolutely associated with changes in the way our body normally functions.
Lisa Arkin is the executive director at Beyond Toxics. Crystal Abrams, the social media and pollinator projects manager. We're talking about their recent research as part of a study that Friends of the Earth did of grocery store samples. They just went shopping and brought in things like applesauce and spinach and apples and pinto beans and oat cereals and sent them off to Friends of the Earth, which tested them for pesticide residues and found plenty. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's another call from Jan in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi there, it's Jan, actually.
Jan, sorry.
Were any of these products that you purchased labeled organic?
Hey, really, really great question. No, they were. None of them were labeled organic. We did not purchase anything organic. We were not able to get apples from Costco because we weren't able to locate non-organic apples on their store shelves.
Have there been tests, I wonder? I mean, to follow up on Jan's question about whether organics have been tested for the same sorts of things. I mean, they're supposed to not have any residues at all, clearly, but have they been tested?
Yeah, that's a really good question. This study did not address organics, unfortunately, but there are studies from the Environmental Working Group out there in the past that have tested organics. And yeah, you don't find chemicals as highly toxic like glyphosate and neonics and organophosphates in organics, but you may find some less toxic residues in organic foods sometimes. Yes.
Lisa, you've been pressing the case for years, and I'm sure you have agricultural groups telling you back that these products don't make it to market without some pesticides involved in their growing.
Do you mean the conventional or the organic?
The conventional foods, yeah.
Okay. Well, I found that a seriously troubling statement. How is it okay for food that people consume to have pesticide residues? I mean, we're not supposed to have pesticides in our bodies. That's not a normal condition. So I wouldn't accept the argument that, well, we just have to live with pesticide residues on our food. That's a false argument.
The stuff that you mentioned, the organophosphates, including chlorpyrifos, and there's an interesting story about chlorpyrifos and its federal regulation. It was headed in one direction and reversed course, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great thing to bring up, Jeff. Under the Obama administration, the U.S. EPA was set to ban the use of chlorpyrifos, and in fact, it has already been banned for use in residential settings because of its high toxicity. And then with the change of administrations, the EPA decided they were going to abandon the work to ban chlorpyrifos. A lawsuit ensued, and the Ninth Circuit Court, I believe, Crystal, is that right? Ninth Circuit, ruled that the EPA must follow through and continue their course to ban chlorpyrifos. So right now it's at a standstill. The EPA is not complying with a court order.
Okay, so head in one direction, then change direction on chlorpyrifos. Does the government itself, are we aware of, does tests like what you folks did in conjunction with Friends of the Earth, that we know that they go shopping too and do the same sort of analysis to look for pesticide residues on store-bought products?
Great. That's a really interesting question, and I know that organic food is tested because it has to be tested in order to determine whether or not it can be labeled and sold as organic. Now, as for conventional food, I have to say I don't know. I don't think so, but I'm not 100% sure. But
do we know if there's testing at the producer end, maybe, that the things are tested before they leave whatever place they're prepped for transportation?
I have not heard of that done in conventional agriculture, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. That's the base, you know, of my knowledge here in Oregon.
All right. I want to come back to numbers here, Lisa, because we're talking about things like with the oat cereals, the generic Cheerios samples. 360 parts per billion glyphosate gets you to 0.0000. That's 4.036%, which doesn't sound like a lot, but I guess your name wouldn't be beyond toxic if you thought that any little amount would be okay.
Well, I think... you know, you can't be a total purist. That's we want to go beyond it. That's true. But the concern is low-level, constant, and multiple exposures of different toxic chemicals. So we don't know how the presence of both glyphosate and a neonicotinoid product in our liver might affect our liver. I mean, that's a hypothetical example, but I'm just saying that.
But you do an example here with the spinach where you got organophosphates and neonicotinoids in some of the samples.
Exactly, and that's taken up into our bloodstream and distributed to our organs. And even though we might excrete that as we go about our day, we're still accumulating multiple low-level exposures. And that's the kind of exposure that has been found to cause brain damage.
All right, so we have to stop it there. Lisa Arkin and Crystal Abrams from Beyond Toxics. The full report is available at their website and ours. Thank you for joining us.